I love you, KC. This is why I wanted to come here and stay. This means everything. We're just getting started.
Bobby Witt Jr. last night in the locker room as the Royals advanced to the ALDS Saturday night in the Bronx, taking on the Yankees right here on 96.5 The Fan. And we know Monday night is going to be a special night in Kansas City. You got the Chiefs Monday night football game against the Saints at Arrowhead here on 96.5 The Fan. You've got Royals game two of the ALDS going on over on The Fan AM as they take on will be at that point, I guess, Cole Reagan's against. I don't know if the Yankees have put up their number two starter or not.
I don't think they have yet. Oh, you know what? I think they did. I just don't remember who it is now.
Gotcha. So it is going to be a fun week ahead for Kansas City. And let's go out to the hotline and welcome in former Chiefs wide receiver, Chiefs color analyst for the radio network, and right here on 96.5 The Fan, Danan Hughes. He's presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. How about Monday night, man? I mean, I know you're busy, but you got a Royals game going on as well about an hour or so before you guys get going.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, man. I mean, this is a special time. And I want to go back to a comment I've always made in regards to since Patrick Mahomes has been here. Like, there's a generation of people that I think this is probably normal. Like, and
it's not
a generation of kids. It's not. So, yeah, we should relish it in the moment. We should, just savor everything about this because football and baseball at the same time, pertinent games, Monday Night Football kind of reminds me of the day we got Brady benched when I think that was at the same time as some magical baseball across the park as well. So, yeah, this was fun. This is going to be great.
Yeah, I think it was that Monday Night Patriots game. The next day was the wild card game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they beat him 40-10 or whatever. And then, but that was still, like, that was Alex Smith, and that was certainly, like, they were a lot better than they had been. But it wasn't the two biggest stars in their sport, right? Other than Shohei Ohtani, Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the three biggest stars in the entire sport. I think he's the second best player in the entire sport, and Patrick Mahomes is the best player in his sport. I think that's what stands out, Dana, is not only do they have two good teams at the same time, they have two of the biggest stars in their respective sports.
Oh, yeah, definitely stands out. I mean, those guys have pretty much been linked together, whether it's through their endorsements and, sponsorship of Community America Credit Union, just their age, their appeal. There's just so much to love about each one of them, and obviously they show it all on the field. They've been exemplary in the community as well. So, like, all across the board, definitely a lot for us to be proud of in the Chiefs/Royals kingdom. And it's going to be fun to watch. Just to be able to see him on this stage, this is his first opportunity on the playoff stage. He's already come through in the clutch in the postseason so far. So, like, I just think it's really cool. And then to see each guy retweeting the other guy's posts and how they just kind of bounce things off of each other, how they are. I've seen Bobby Witt in pregame. I was down on the field when they played the Angels and seeing him interact with fans and signing autographs and being patient. Then obviously we know what Patrick is with his Mahomes Foundation. I mean, it's just, yeah, we get caught up in the X's and O's. We get caught up in the wins and losses, the batting averages, the MVPs, et cetera. But as far as the total package, each of those guys has been phenomenal. We got a lot to be proud of.
No question. As we're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan, a little while ago, Danan, we heard from Patrick Mahomes, and he was asked about the play, of course, the interception that unfortunately ended up leading to an injury there for Rashee Rice. We don't know the full extent. Obviously doesn't look good for him. And then Mahomes was asked about that sequence and how he felt, and he said, "I feel like bleep about it." Were you ever in a spot as either yourself or a teammate where, you know, it's a fluky play and you end up accidentally hurting a teammate of yours, and I'm sure you feel terrible about it?
Yeah, there's definitely been times where it's been friendly fire, where there's collisions on special teams or, unfortunately, maybe even in practice where you get tangled up with a guy, there's no ill intention, but you're just trying to make a football play. And that's the name of the game. I mean, we see guys collide in baseball in the outfield or things just happen. And I know based on the nature of that, Patrick really has to feel extra bad because, he threw the interception. He's the one that tried to go and make the hit. It was an outstanding play by Rashee Rice, an effort to dislodge the ball. But then to come up like that you know, that's something that he'll relive in his mind. I know that there were times when I played and I had injuries, and all you do is almost like when you lose a game, you just rethink, man, what could I have done differently? Could I have seen him quicker? Could I have just gone airborne and instead of planting my foot in the ground? Like, all of those things are things that just kind of go through your mind because you wish it would never happen. It was so fluky at the same time, but it's unfortunate because I think he was really emerging, or has emerged as our number one, but then actually being a star on the complete NFL level at that wide receiver position with the numbers he was putting up, with the dependability that he had with Patrick, the relationship, obviously the numbers not being as high for Travis Kelce, so it almost amplified his play as well. And then we were undefeated. So, like, all of that encompassed together makes it really, really tough. And who knows how things are going to unfold with him getting back on the field, when he'll get back on the field. Obviously, he's got the legal stuff going on and potential suspension, et cetera. Like, there's a lot that's happening, and it's unfortunate.
Speaking of former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes and current color analyst here on 96.5 The Fan, what do you make of the Saints? First 2 weeks, they're dropping 50 essentially on everybody. They're scoring less than 20 points a game in back-to-back losses at Philadelphia, or sorry, against Philadelphia and at Atlanta. Where do they rank in the scary team factor? First 2 weeks, you'd have been like, oh boy, that Monday night game's looking a lot different. But the offense has come crashing back to earth there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a scary team for different reasons. When they were 2-0, they were scary because, you know, we knew, we always could tell that their defense with Cam Jordan and the Honey Badger, that their defense was always going to be stellar. And they've shown that kind of consistently. But when they were putting up those boatloads of points, that's when it really was a concern. Like, oh, wow, where, you know, what is this team? And who is this team that, you know, I wouldn't say we thought would be a pushover for Monday Night Football, but we kind of wondered if it was going to be a team, you know, that if you looked at the first five games, I don't know, initially when the schedule came out that you thought, well, this is going to be a tough game or the toughest of the five. But then as they started, you saw them put the numbers up offensively, and that's what really opened my eyes, is that, oh, they can put numbers up in chunks, and Shaheed and Olave, I mean, they have some playmakers, and Derek Carr was playing out of his mind as well. But then they've come back down to earth over these last 2 weeks and figured out ways to lose games. And we've seen that with the Chargers. I mean, heck, Brendan Staley would still have a job if he knew how to not lose games supposed to be winning them, you know. And that's kind of what you saw over the last couple of weeks, is like they could literally be 4-0. They could be with us and the Vikings as undefeated teams. And maybe in an argument, they probably should be. If you don't give up the big play to Dallas Goedert, and then you don't allow the Falcons, to escape with a win there, like, they could be 4-0. So they are a good team. I think they are probably of the better 2-2 teams in the league, and we're going to have our hands full. And you got some incentive with the Honey Badger coming back, Willie Gay Jr. Like, there's extra storylines, and then they don't want to be in a position where they're losing three straight games.
For the Chiefs offense, wide receiver-wise, is this just going to be an approach similar to last year now with the Rashee Rice injury? Is this Justin Watson is going to be asked to on a third down, they might need him for one big conversion. They might need Juju for a big third down conversion, and kind of they're going to have to piece this thing together.
Yeah, I think so. What I would like to see is, and I think it would bode well for the offense, is that if we have a receiver, kind of like what we saw with Justin Watson last year at times, stretch the field. Like, it cannot be just Xavier Worthy's the only one that's running down the field and everybody else is just running across the field and hoping to get 5-yard catches and turn them into 15-yard gains. Like, I don't think that's going to bode well for our offense. So those other guys, like you mentioned, Juju, McColl, obviously Justin, he's made some plays deep down in plays and in opportunities in the past. Like, you got to stretch the field. That, to me, that was one of the big assets of having Rashee Rice, is that he can run horizontally, but he can also go vertically, like we saw against the Cincinnati Bengals. You lose that, so somebody else has got to fill those shoes to make those plays.
Danon, make sure you charge your phone for Monday. That way you can keep an eye on that Royals game before the Chiefs game starts.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there'll be a lot of people doing the same, so I'll be able to kind of lean over and look on Mitch's phone or somebody else's in the booth.
I'm hoping they show some of the highlights on the Jumbotron if something good happens.
Oh, I absolutely believe they will. I mean, that place will go. I mean, I've been at Arrowhead Stadium. We've been at Super Bowls. We've been for AFC Championships, and we've got the, you know, the decibel level and the record and all that. But when I was at that Oakland A's game, wild card game,
yeah,
like when it erupted at Kauffman, like that was the loudest that I felt like I've ever been a part of in the stand. So the fan base, whether they're at the game or they are down at the Power and Light or wherever, it's going to be a fun Monday, and I'm sure they're going to. It'd be smart for the Chiefs to show some Royals highlights during timeouts.
No doubt about that. Danon, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll check in next week.
All right, sounds good, guys.
There you go. That's Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, current color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear him on 96.5 The Fan right here Monday night. Mitch Holthus, Danon Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel. Pregame coverage starts at 4 o'clock on Monday.
That's a former Chief who played at Arrowhead, who has been calling games at Arrowhead for years, telling you that the loudest building he feels like he's ever been in was the 2014 wildcard game. It's the loudest I've ever been in because I felt like Kauffman shook that day. Specifically, the loudest moment, I swear, was the Eric Hosmer ball to left center field, squeezed between the two outfielders, the triple. That was the moment when I was like, is this building going to collapse? It felt so like you couldn't hear yourself blink. If you think it wouldn't have mattered, it was so loud in that moment. Ah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
Wednesday, we're going to play a baseball again. Aren't you excited?
That's what's so great. Yeah. I mean, we all have memories from that game. I mean, after the Royals win, you know, hugging people you don't even know after the game.
Like, no that, strangers that would, in that
it,
moment.
No,
you know?
you just did it. Like, it just happened. The joy that this city felt. We got a little taste of that, I think, even for these road games against the Orioles. But now there are no more doubters out there. There are no more people I think are waiting to jump on. Everybody's all in now. It doesn't matter where you were at a month ago with this baseball team. Everybody is all in on the 2024 Kansas City Royals that are heading to New York to take on the Yankees. And then, yeah, they come back home on Wednesday for at least one home game. Maybe they need one on Thursday. We'll see. But it is going to be really, really special. And then Monday night is just incredible showcase for the city. And
Sorry if you like sports and don't like Kansas City, because you're going to get a lot of it.
The emotions on Monday, the stress level on Monday, all of it. And hopefully what brings plenty of joy on Tuesday, right? That's what we're hoping for. Everybody's feeling good on Tuesday because, I mean, things went really well. But it's going to be a fun but, I think, stressful Monday for a lot of people in Kansas City. Yeah. Between the Chiefs trying to stay undefeated and, of course, at this point, most importantly, the Royals trying to, at that point, either go up 2-0, get a sweat, you know, get a split, whatever the situation is that Monday night. We don't know. We'll find out Saturday.
I mean, either way, going into it, we're going to feel that way because it's either they're trying to go up 2-0, try to avoid 2-0, whatever. You're like, oh, God. Yeah,
people want
two.
To know on the text line, were you turning down public high fives? Yesterday, you said you're not a public
high five.
You're not a public high five guy. And people said, all right, private high five. But that day, were you a public high five?
I gave a high five. Okay. I just said, like, generally speaking, that's not always been my move. I didn't say I'm anti or would never. When the moment calls for it, I'll be there. I was not the loudest person. I think Dusty was the loudest person.
Yeah.
He was like standing on top of tables. He might have been like causing a scene. Borderline causing
yesterday?
A scene. Yes.
The video's
he
out there.
Like the drum line.
Someone said, who was it with the roar? They thought that was me roaring. No, I think that was Speck. He was the one video. If you go and watch the video.
Speck had a roar?
If you go back in the video at the beginning, there's someone that had like a pretty loud roar. Now, the camera at that point was on Bob and I, and I made noise, but there's no way that was me from that far away.
Sure?
I'm 90% sure, not 100%.
I mean, I was right behind Speck. I don't remember making a roar sound.
Somebody else did.
Maybe I did.
Somebody else. It wasn't me. There's no way it picked that up from that distance. Hmm. So I don't think it was me, but we had a great time at Jefferson's yesterday, and we'll see what we got in store for next week, obviously. I think our plan is maybe to be out of Kauffman. Tomorrow, I know we're going to be somewhere, too. If you want to stop by and just say hello and kick off a Red Friday in Kansas City.
We're all over the city this week.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to be at Community America Credit Union, 135th in Black Bob in Olathe. We'll be down there. Casey Wolf, Chiefs cheerleaders. I'm told amazing hamburgers are about to be grilled.
They got a grill set up, and it's supposed to be nice outside, which is where we're going to stash ourselves.
And so, I think we'll have a couple t-shirts as well for the station with us. So if you're in that neck of the woods tomorrow,
we'd love to see
that Community America. Yeah.
We were at Jefferson's Community America. Presumably we'll be outside of Kauffman maybe next Wednesday.
Depending on game times. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to make a little tour around the city.
Fun times to be a sports fan and certainly to be doing sports talk radio in KC. That's for sure.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook at The Fan 965. We live stream the show. We're actually on camera today, not our figurines. You said your own mom got confused about how we were doing the video stream.
When we're not in studio, we have our old 3D printed, and they're actually us, like it's a scan of us. And she and others scrolled through Facebook and they're like, I saw you guys just in front of a window. What was going on? I'm like, go back and watch the video, please. I literally said it like that. I'm like, go back and watch.
I stood there
looking
in the
a
same
little
position.
Stiff there.
Like, go back and watch the video. It was a figurine. I thought about today starting the show in studio and just purposely have the camera only on the figurine still just to see how long. While Cody is in person, just to see how long anybody would say anything about
There are people who were making jokes that I should have had. You, Gold, setting up like some sort of a like a table, like screwing in something, like building something, and having Cody in a line.
Now you're putting them in action shots.
Somebody texted in that we needed to line up some bobbleheads and have you actually in line.
Drew,
Cody.
Tomorrow you can, I guess, do whatever you want.
We'll be on remote again.
We will. We will not have the cameras with us.
So the question I have for you today, though, is related to my favorite tweet of the entire night. Now look. There were a lot of great ones, man. Bobby Witt Jr., Q, Salvi letting out that big yell. But the best one of the night came over on Instagram, where Vinny Pasquantino, who sent out exactly one tweet after or during that playoff series, was an Instagram post. Sorry, not a tweet. This one was Instagram. Instagram post of a photo full of a table full of Taco Bell that said, "Ever seen what $200 in Taco Bell looks like? Here's a sneak peek with all the stuff out there." So the question I have for you is, in honor of Taco Bell, if you can't go out to eat, what is the best at-home late-night snack? We're talking after 1 a.m. Because if I say, what's the best late-night after 1 a.m., all of us are answering Taco Bell or a QT taquito or like the five things we know are available at 1 a.m. from a Uber Eats or a driving situation. I'm saying you're at the house, you're wishing for a snack, it's 1 a.m., you've had a few drinks. What is the best at-home snack?
At home? So two things. One, if you got the air fryer, man, some mozzarella sticks, you can pop in the air fryer.
Mozzarella
air fryer
sticks,
is perfect for this.
You get marinara. You got marinara. So,
I don't need marinara.
No marinara.
Sticks. I don't need them. No, I don't have to use marinara for the mozzarella sticks. I have sometimes, just depends. But you don't have to have
mozzarella
that.
Sticks at 1 a.m.
Absolutely. Or the other option is just another frozen item. It's 1 a.m. You just have it around the apartment.
Ice cream, man.
I need food.
Ice cream is your answer.
I need like food, but that's interesting.
It'd
be like a frozen pizza. That's the other
option. A Totino's, like a party pizza,
Tombstone or whatever.
I think my answer is cheese and crackers. I could eat. Well, I mean, at 1 a.m., I'm not trying to like eat a whole ass meal. It's a snack, you know. Cheese and cracker, like specifically the buttery club cracker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good buttery club cracker. What? This is no good.
I agree. No, I agree. I just don't know.
Green box?
I'm just thinking like you're hungry. You know, it's 1 a.m. You've been drinking and you're hungry. The crackers aren't doing it for me.
Yeah, that is tough.
Snack. Well, then, I mean, just I'll have a couple of, you know, just to this will fit the brand perfectly. I'll have a couple, you know, grabs of the Tostitos, you know.
People say PB&J maybe on the list or one of those Jimmy Dean frozen breakfast croissant sandwiches. Uncrustable wouldn't be bad at that time of night. If there was a time to eat it, that would feel like a pretty good window. I think popcorn is always way up there. Sure. It's not a filling one, but it takes so long to eat. It like feels like you're you're working. Popcorn's pretty regularly on the list.
Ice cream, Drew.
I think ice cream could be a go-to. Popcorn's a good one too. I love popcorn. So if you get like those mini bags, if you like have like the mini bags, it's a good
cheese and crackers is
that's my answer.
That is an interesting answer. I never would have guessed.
Over on that's a great. I'm telling you, man, it's great. Hits the spot at that time. Over on Twitch, grilled cheese or hot dog, bowl of cereal, a really common one. We're seeing that on the text line and on Twitch. Phantom says instant ramen. I feel like I don't want to work for the food at that time, I'll say. Like, it doesn't take much to boil water and throw some ramen in. That's like one more step than I want to make to eat this food.
Grilled cheese might sound good, but you got to make the grilled cheese sandwich.
Shred the cheese. Like, it feels like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. If it's just a Kraft single dude and some toast, it takes 10 seconds, but.
You're saying like a piece of toast and like put some, you got like a piece of toast.
What's the most you've ever spent on a single fast food trip, by the way?
Like, for me?
Fast food?
For anybody. You're buying for the group, college, whatever. They dropped $200
like
at Taco Bell, man.
$50 for a group of people. That's it.
$50?
Like a McDonald's run back in college or something, yeah.
And they're still, like, hitting you back with some cash, probably.
Yeah, that was before the Venmo days, even, I think. I don't know if Venmo was around when I was in college. I don't know what we did to... I don't even remember.
You just settled up later?
I don't think we had...
Am I wrong?
I don't think Venmo was a thing when I was in college. I could be wrong.
We were in college at the same time, even though we're different ages.
Age, yeah. Do you remember Venmo? Like,
I don't think so, no. I think I just carried cash more.
Yeah.
I was also working in a cash business then, so it was just...
That's
easier.
Why that IRS guy keeps texting in.
Somebody just says like a lunch meat sandwich, just like turkey or ham or whatever, just like a
what a damn Lunchable.
Just a white bread sandwich, you know, nothing crazy.
Somebody said they passed out making so many pizzas in college.
Passed out, just burnt to a crisp.
Someone said they spent $183 at Quick Trip last week for a group.
What?
What was the order?
Is gas included?
Yeah, gas doesn't count. Gas does not count.
I gotta see the receipt. $183. How many energy drinks did you buy?
Six packs. Like 12 packs.
Dude, taquitos are like 2 for $3.50.
Right. Like subs.
How the hell do you get to $183?
I don't know.
I love Quick Trip. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know what the total would have been, but there's a couple times, like when we were in high school, I guess some of my friends would be like, "Yo, you want to go to like IHOP?" And it's like midnight. You want to go to IHOP and have some pancakes.
Went to Perkins a lot in high school, like 1 in the morning.
But it was always you take care of yourself. It wasn't a come together and just pay. So I would assume it was in the hundreds for the IHOP because we'd have like 15, 20 people.
Mint's getting nuts. White Out over on Twitch said, most I spent last week at Culver's. He said it was $135 for me, the wife, and 4 kids. I'm like, 6 people is $135? Everyone must have gotten shakes. Everyone got the big meal.
Everybody got concrete mixers, too.
Yeah, 135?
No way.
That had to do with ice cream, right?
No way.
Somebody
like
said
I just... What?
There's somebody 135 said,
divided by 6. That's $22 a person.
So they definitely got shakes.
I mean, they definitely had to get shakes.
Somebody said they spent $54 on 3 subs at Quick Trip. Or somebody they saw.
A guy last night said, $54
on 3 subs. $18 for a sub?
What did you put on that? It's Quick Trip. I've gotten food at Quick Trip. I don't think it's $18 for a sub. What are you putting on that thing? No way. That seems nuts.
By the way, the answer to our question about the $183 at Quick Trip, that $183, 14 people, they're going to play softball. They had to buy a case of water, beer, energy drinks, ice, and snacks. So.
Man, they had to look. You got to get a look. If you're with no gas, you're dropping $183.
If you get above 10 people.
Or you're buying cigarettes. Cigarettes are pretty expensive.
If you get above 10 people, though, if you think about it, per person, $183 would be $18. It was 14,
fair.
Talking about beer and stuff, too. You can talk yourself into it.
Okay. Somebody said $45 for me just at Poncho's. They opened Poncho's. You ever been there?
Heard of it.
It is a drive-through Mexican place. It existed off. It's off of like Maine and I don't know south of 39 or north of 39th Street. It's open 24 hours a day. They just opened one around the corner from my
house. That's dangerous for you.
They opened up a second location.
That's dangerous for you.
Used to like going on the way back from
old Webster
House.
That's a little dangerous for you.
I'll tell you right now, if at any point I'm coming home from one of these playoff games at 11 o'clock, watch out. Because that will be the stop. That will be the place I stop at. It's bad for the probably bad for the Taco Bell not far away.
I was just going to say, that Taco Bell across from Kaufman, man, they're about to make some more money this month than they normally do. It's been 10 years.
It's going to be a good quarter.
It wasn't at home, but my wife and I made one of those like little runs at midnight. We went to Jack in the Box real quick.
It happens sometimes.
Jack in the Box and Scooby-Doo, man. That is the
We did watch a little bit of Scooby-Doo yesterday.
There you go.
We did not. When I went home, when we left in game one, did not go home to watch Scooby-Doo.
What'd you guys do?
We went to the Legends, to the Outlets, and walked around for a little bit. Watched the end of the Royals
game.
Went to Legends.
Yeah, you left the Royals game on Tuesday night to go shopping at the Legends. True.
Wife's in charge, man.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like I just I deceived the Royals by not paying attention. I saw that they won. I saw that they kept it 1-0.
All right. Up next, guys, let's talk some fantasy football briefly with Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. And then we get right back into the Royals and what basically cannot be sustainable throughout this series against New York. See if you guys agree next.